entry to the church has been moved from the front to the side. The opportunity to put a level of development behind the facade means that it had to go well behind the facade, otherwise it was just rank tokenism, and it would and then the plate for any building and the towering and the height of any building to seven stories just cannot work. It really is a situation where the church manse, which is next door, therefore you've got a standard block of I think 15 metres wide, which, you know, again, you can't do a development that kind of wraps around. There is a further property which will go to seven stories on the corner, and the property directly adjoining us to the south, or on the other side, has already got an approval for a seven-story, six-story alterations and additions to the existing building. So, you know, we have looked at the feasibility economically, and as Daniel Dwyer said, there's just no feasibility. You know, there's no opportunity even replacing this with a boarding house as proposed is simply uneconomic. So in the event that the church was retained and we're unsuccessful, then it's simply going to remain there. And that's a more merit argument. But the answer is, yes, we've looked at all feasibilities. They're really the only opportunity here is for the church, you know, the social housing community provider, to go to the Land Environment Court and hope in circumstances where you do proceed with the, or the council proceeds with the planning proposal, is seeking to have it set aside.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions from the panel? All right. Thank you, Mr. McKee. I'll ask the panel this question. Did you wish to determine the matter now or defer it to the end of the public meeting?
I think we should defer it to the end.
I concur with that, Mr. Chair.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. McKee.
Again, thank you, Mr. Chairman and the panel and Tina for undertaking the review of the late information. And we look forward to the result. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, with that, we can move on to item two. This is the planning proposal at 36 Lawndale Street and 64 to 70 Brennan Street, which is the east, which is the city west link, I think, or anyway, it's the main road. And again, the panel has had an opportunity to review the written material we have and view the site. We have a number of people who wish to speak. Mr. Barwick, Mr. Raithby, and Mr. Negro. Who wishes to go first?
If I may go first, and I can quickly just summarise everything and then leave it to Scott to go through planning issues, if that's
all right,
okay with
us. So it's Mr. Raithby.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity, panel members. My name is Derek Raithby. I am the architect who has been working on the project for many years. Unfortunately, this is the second time before the panel. The planning proposal was previously brought before you and recommended by, the council version was recommended for approval to go to the council. And unfortunately, it was delayed in council, and due to one vote, it was delayed, and it's at quite an expense to our client. It has become a little bit ridiculous in terms of the how long this process has gone on. The reasons why it was not did not go through the council meeting was a matter of overshadowing, which could clearly be dealt with as part of the development process. And admittedly, council staff actually mentioned that, but councillors did not agree with that synopsis, unfortunately. Saying all that, it's just important to give you that background. it is disappointing that we're coming back before you. In terms of the current proposal, we've gone through things with council staff a number of times. This proposal has gone through a number of iterations and designs and bulks and forms and size of the project. Just quickly, a few things that, in terms of the history, just a few things that are missing really from the summary, council summary before you. The site has had a previous approval on there for 1.5. This is not, having 1.5 to 1 is not something which is new. It's been tested many years ago in council, and it's been previously approved that. I mean, obviously that's, unfortunately that previous approval is not active, but it's something which has been tested and approved in the past. The adjoining site, 402 Catherine Street, is also is actually well above the 1.5, and that's, again, that's been tested, and my understanding is that is at 1.75 to 1. Our calculations and our modelling show that that there is the possibility of doing a similar ratio or something more than that. However, council council's strategic team prefer to keep it at 1.5, and that's what they're modelling. And you have the reasons for that in the summary before you, that they, our amended proposal have you indicated, they, you'll see in the summary that their version is slightly less and reduced to allow for additional roof fixtures. Personally, I don't think that that our current design is accommodated in that. I mean, the proportion of ours is set well away from the lower density zones around us. We have tested the models extensively because of the comments in that, at the council, that they wanted to have zero, sorry, I'll summarise it quickly, that they wanted to have zero additional shadow. So our proposal, there is no overshadowing impact. There is sufficient building separation between them. At the moment, they're dealing with a very large brick wall that adjoins their property. I mean, and compared to now, it will be an improvement on in terms of overshadowing and overlooking. So I'll leave it now to Scott. And then our client would like to again comment on these delays and further issues as well. So I'll just leave it now to Scott Barwick, and I'll turn off my microphone. Again, thank you, panel members.
Before you leave us, do the panel members have any questions?
No, thanks.
Yes, I've got a question. So the you mentioned about the modelling. So is the actual scale of the proposal that in your planning proposal, that's illustrating a 2:1 FSR, is it?
No, it's only 1.64:1.
1.64.
So it is only a fraction above, but unfortunately you don't have what we submitted previously. I'm sure that the panel members, with your vast experience, we did actually propose to council a version that had roof terrace, which is very commonly, our office is involved in quite a lot of these types of developments. It's very common to allow for communal roof terrace planning. Unfortunately, the strategic team were insistent that would not be accepted. So the current proposal has a large communal area at ground level, so that but yes, in reality there's nothing wrong with having a roof terrace.
So in terms of the actual bulk of what you're showing in your scheme and what council's showing in their floor plate, are you confident that would achieve 1.5 if yours is only 1.64 and there's a significant difference in the actual floor plate of the two proposals and the height? it's hard to rationalize that one could achieve 1.5 and if the other one's only achieving 1.64. So did you look into that or not?
Well, the previous one to this, we actually had, I think, at 1.94, which having the roof terraces. So our version has a very large communal area as part of that. So the distribution on site was quite different. And so even at 1.94, in terms of overshadowing, we comply. There was no overshadowing and it had sufficient building separation. The major difference between what we've looked at and what council looked at is that council have provided a 3 metre separation, which around the boundaries and a large communal area to the south, even though it wouldn't actually get very much sunlight, which I find quite odd.
Just one other question. So in terms of the previous resolution of the panel, it made fairly specific recommendations, one of them being the height and other issues about setbacks, etc. Just out of interest, why haven't those been taken on board?
They have. Compared to our previous version, we lowered the building. So our current design, there's two things which I appreciate which the panel put forward was that the building be lowered, which we did from the previous version, and also that
lowered to the height. I don't think it's lowered to the height that was suggested by the panel, was it? In terms of it being 5 stories instead of 6, or
the building height of our proposal currently complies with the height control that was put forward by the panel previously. And in terms of the, we did not do there's a number of reasons for doing a 3 metre separation. One was acoustics. Before I get onto that, we also removed a residential component, which was at ground level, which is close to the road, which I think is a good suggestion. And acoustically, that does work. Having a 3 metre separation from the boundary has zero, has no influence in terms of traffic noise, road noise, and so forth. Regardless of whether my background before architecture was acoustics. I've worked on the Opera House. I've worked on road corridors. The only way to have a acoustic separation is to have road barriers, or to raise the residential level, which is a good method. But having a landscape buffer does nothing in terms of acoustics. And there's perfectly reasonable responses along Parramatta Road, which you can see. Having glass louvers on balconies is a good solution, and that works.
Any other questions from the panel?
No, thanks, Mr. Chairman.
No, thanks, Mr. Chair.
All right, well, can we proceed to hear from Mr. Barwick? Is Mr. Barwick there?
Mr. Chair, he is there, but he's on mute. He's muted his microphone. I might see if I can unmute 1 second.
I'm not muted.
Yep, there you go.
There we go. Okay, thank you.
All right, we can hear you, Mr. Barwick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, panel members. The main issue before you today is the recommendation of whether or not to proceed with a recommendation to the council to proceed with the planning proposal. And in that regard, obviously we're pleased that there's a recommendation from the staff to proceed. I think the answer that panel member Tour was looking for from the architect was whether the results from the council suggested amendments had been tested as yet. I think the answer to that is it hasn't been tested yet, but nonetheless we're comfortable to proceed along the lines of the recommendation from staff. There's a couple of minor points which we have taken up and provided some suggestions to staff this morning that they've indicated could be tweaked with it, and that relates to proposed objective C of the planning proposal in terms of site specific objectives, and that was sorry. Can you hear me still?
Yes, you proceed, Mr. Barwick.
That suggested amendment, at the moment the objective talks about having only non-residential uses at street level adjoining City West Link. Understand the objective and intention of that. We've provided a suggested wording which makes it a little bit clearer and avoids any potential unintended prohibition of providing residential car parking and confusion. And I think staff have indicated that they can take that on board. Therefore, the main issue and clarification probably comes down to the summary recommendation in the conclusion, where there's the item C talks about an amended traffic assessment which considers the impacts of the proposed increased density. My recollection is that the traffic study that we have provided was actually for a greater density than is now being recommended, but I think that's a matter that we can deal with staff. But the final one comes down to just a clarification around point A in the conclusion in section 9 on page 20 of the report, relating to a revised urban design report, and just actually from our point of view, clearly understanding from council staff what they are seeking in that, given that the planning proposal they've prepared is quite detailed, has gone through a lot of analysis, and just trying to understand what it is that staff would actually be looking for post gateway determination. Other than that, the main priority is that we support the recommendation to the panel to proceed with the rezoning, that the site's suitable for more intense level of development that's proposed. And we would be doing the appropriate testing and submissions to the exhibition should that be necessary. And any questions, I'm available.
I think, Mr. Barwick, that the reference to a revised urban design report is a reference to the kind of urban design that appears on page 14 and 15 of the assessment report.
And I guess that's my question, Mr. Chair. If the work's already been done by the staff, is it that that's what would be exhibited by council? It will be a technical matter to clarify with the staff what they are intending.
Well, my understanding is that the intention is either one or other of the two designs that appear on page 14 and 15.
Okay.
Questions from the panel?
Mr. Chairman, I do understand Mr. Barwick's point that the diagrams that council has prepared on page 14 and 15 of the assessment report lack a little in clarity and certainty in terms of urban design, and I have raised that matter myself, and I suspect that I myself feel that there should be a little more work done by council officers to clarify the situation there, and if that's any consolation of Mr. Barwick, I'd support him in that respect.
All right. Well, that's not a question to Mr. Barwick. any questions?
Presumably A is that at the moment there's a planning proposal that's been prepared by the applicant that has a holiday, you know, as a indicative outcome of the planning proposal, that it's got plans that show a three-dimensional form of development on the side, which presumably, if the council planning proposal were to go ahead, it would need to be supported by a similar sort of indicative outcome, as well as presumably by a DCP that also goes on exhibition at the same time. I mean, otherwise all you get at the end of the planning proposal is an amendment to your height and floor space ratio map, and anyone can come back with it with anything then, unless there's a DCP that also provides sort of controls about the extent of setback lots and the lower built form that's closer to the residential buildings and all those sort of things. I mean, you can do it with the amendment to that, whatever it is, the key sites thing, but I suppose it's the information about what goes in the key sites that's needed. Again, that's not, I suppose, it's not necessarily a question. It's maybe a question to council staff if they're there as to what they envisage by A.
It's Alex here. I concur with Annalise with what she just said. The urban design revised urban design report would be outlining the new plan proposals prepared by council, with taking into consideration all the setbacks, building envelopes, FSR, which hasn't been taken into consideration with the existing urban design report as it reports to the proponent's plan proposal, not council's.
And Alex, while you're there, can you just confirm whether there was actually testing of your floor plates and your heights to have certainty that 1.5 would fit into that envelope? Because it's a much smaller envelope than what's currently proposed in the applicant's planning proposal, which is supposedly only 1.64.
We haven't tested it. However, it is correct that the applicant's is at 1.64:1. With ours at 1.5:1, we would imagine that it'd be similar, and it would be able to comply with everything.
I think I should supplement that. Whilst we haven't tested it, it was our own in-house urban designer that drew up the concept plans. And the recommendations on the urban design report and the DCP, and indeed the traffic assessment, are standard recommendations we make with gateway submissions, so that proponents can update the information so it's fully ready for public exhibition. And we recommend to the department that they add these as conditions to gateway determinations.
All right. Any other questions while we've got Mr. Barwick on the line?
Mr. Chair, I was just going to say, I think Mr. Rankin just answered my question in terms of whose responsibility is he seeking us to update those reports. So that makes it crystal clear.
All right. All right. If there's no other questions of Mr. Barwick, we should hear from the owner.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you all, Mr. Chairman, panel?
Yes, you proceed, please.
Can you hear me, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to say that this particular development of ours has, and council can confirm it, has just been, we've actually exhausted it in a way that no other development that we've done inside Inner West. It's just been going on for over 6-7 years. We have reports coming out left, right and centre. We've done so much modelling and the like at a very expensive exercise. So we are ready, willing and able and keen to proceed with this, especially with this COVID-19. We employ a lot of people. And any support from council and yourselves would be much appreciated in our behalf. That's all I'd like to say.
Any questions, panel?
No, Mr. Chair.
No.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Now, question for the panel. Do you want to determine this now or determine this after the conclusion of the public meeting?
I think after the conclusion of the public meeting, from my point of view, Mr. Chairman.
I agree,
Mr. Chair.
All right. All right. Well, thank you all for your input into this decision, and we will terminate the public meeting and consider what's been put to us and come up with a recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.